After a long and tumultuous season 2, our Rangers prepare to do season 3. Well, all except for one.
I'm looking forward to starting season 3 already.
Me too. We're starting it really soon, though.
Yeah, I know. I'd rather we, like, start now and get ahead of the game. You know, just in case we run into any issues.
That's a very fair point. We have been running into a lot of technical issues lately.
You mean, like, the whole command center blowing up and me being sent to a parallel dimension?
Yeah, something like that. Sorry about that again.
It's okay. I've had some time to decompress a little bit and readjust back to my real life.
And we're glad to have you back, too.
Thanks. Hey, Mike!
Mike!
Hey, Mike!
Hey, guys.
Why are you dragging a keg into the command center?
This, my friend, is one of the rarest things you can find. A very special vintage of root beer from the Punxsutawney World's Fair in 1993. Hand-brewed by Punxsutawney Phil himself, it had the most tender of bouquets on the nose, and when you drink it, you get real notes of juniper and a soupçon of black currant. It's a rare delicacy that only gets stored in kegs rather than bottles or cans.
Ooh.
It's taken me a decade of relentless searching to find this bad boy.
Yeah. In the end, I had to help him write a program to scour the deepest corners of the dark web to find it.
What'd you pay for it?
You really don't want to know.
So, as cool as that sounds, we're about to start recording season 3.
Really? Now? I never agreed to that.
Yeah. Sorry, my dude. We felt that after how long it took season 2 to come out, we should start doing season 3 early and get ahead of the game.
All right. But the game plan was always for me to take time off, especially since I've been on every episode of Voices from the Grid, plus episodes that will never see the light of day ever again.
And you will. We just need you to do these first 2 episodes of season 3 before you can go on your vacation.
What's 2 more episodes?
Or you guys can hold off for a while and let me do my vacation before I have to go into another grind for a 3rd straight season. That would be preferred.
Well, hold on now. Let's see if we can make a deal or not. I'm sure we can accommodate you somehow.
Yeah, we can work something out.
Like what?
Well, you did mention that you've been on every episode so far.
Yeah.
So why don't we do this? You record these next 2 episodes, and then not only do you get to take your vacation, but we'll start helping with the hosting duties so you don't have to be in every episode anymore.
So yeah. What do you say, Mike?
Just to show you I'm serious, how about I host this episode? All you have to do is contribute here and there.
Yeah, I'll host the 2nd episode and you can just sit there and be moody and contribute occasionally.
Tell you what, I'll even host some myself. What do you say? Come on, Mike. It's a good deal.
Fine. Let's get this over with so I can get back to my keg and go on vacation.
From the Grid. I am your master and overlord for the season premiere of Voices from the Grid, Sasha Kaplan, aka the Red Ranger. Joining me tonight are 3 equally insane individuals. First up, we have our Blue Ranger, Brian Massey.
Oh my God. Hey, what's up? Loving the energy, by the way, Sasha. Loving the energy.
It's all the stress from grad school. I'm just like taking over. we have our incredible and brilliant mind, our the man who's changed Ranger colors quite a bit, but it is the incredibly brilliant Black Ranger, Ben Taylor.
It's Garbage Day, aka the holiday named after me.
All right, we'll take it. And last but certainly not least, the man who has taken, who has given away the captain's chair, our green to white ranger, Michael Lindenbaum.
Yo, I'm here. I don't want to be here, but I'm here.
Neither do the rest of us, and yet here we are.
I want today, my vacation, please.
Because today we are covering one of the best written episodes of Power Ranger history ever.
Yeah. The sarcasm is just dripping off.
Sarcasm,
called A Friend in Need. So first we'll give a quick recap and then we'll jump into the questions. The general gist of this is poor Kimberly is sick, so but the rest of the Rangers are
apparently being summoned by a vibration.
Slash force Zordon to agree to travel to Edenoi to check on Alpha's creator and the planet where, I guess, Alpha technically came from, where they encountered the Masked Rider, who believes they have come to harm him. The Rangers and the Masked Rider quickly make friends eventually, and they team up to fight the evil Count Dragon and his warriors. And then finally, the Rangers are forced to rush back to Earth to help poor sick Kimberly, who is fighting a monster while sick with the flu that she also gave the monster. And we...
In about
what
two
even
minutes.
Is this episode?
What even is this episode? It's a completely unnecessary filler that should never have existed.
These are facts.
Yeah.
It existed for one reason and one reason only.
Let's put it this way. I give AKA's titles to a lot of the episodes I star on. My AKA... So, full disclosure to everyone, we're recording this just after Christmas, on New Year. We were supposed to record it before Christmas, but stuff happened. I rewatched the episodes today, just because I wanted to be up to date, and I decided that my AKA would be, my previous notes for these episodes were three words long. These episodes sucked.
I mean, it served the point for one thing and one thing only, and that was to introduce and start the spinoff of Masked Rider.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I have questions. So
I have much to talk about. Sorry.
No, you're right. It's hard to know where to start, but this is why I wrote out questions for this episode. So I guess first and foremost, forget the Rangers. Let's talk about this dear Dex, aka the Masked Rider. What do we, so as Mike mentioned, this was meant to be a backdoor pilot for the Masked Rider series, which Brian told me actually exists. I found out today.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm traumatized already and I haven't even seen it and don't plan to. But what do we
all
think?
40 episodes of it.
That's terrifying. So based off what we see in these three episodes, what do we think of Dex, aka the Masked Rider?
Very confused.
Brian.
So in the realm of Power Rangers, the acting ability is already not the greatest. And then you get this guy and you're just like, oh, it can get worse.
My literal note for this question is Dex is a dingus and might be the worst actor in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and that's saying something.
Yeah. He has a full series. I could go into that series and just how ridiculous that is, but like, oh my God, I don't know who this actor is. But I'm sorry, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy, but he sucks. God, he sucks. He sucks so bad.
I don't know.
I wonder if he actually has a career still.
I don't know if it's the actor's fault or more so the writing. We'll blame the writing.
It is definitely the actor.
But like, no.
It's let both, me fi- guys.
Let me,
it's
let me
both.
Finish. Let me finish. I don't know if it's just on the actor or if it's the writing, but the way the character is portrayed is kind of like super confused, super whiny in a way. Because he's like automatically the moment he sees the Rangers and like without even like going like, who are you guys and what are you doing here, to get a simple answer of like, oh, Alpha sent us. It's like, no, you're with Lord Count Dragon. It's like, automatically, we're just going to fight you guys. I'm like, you're a very confused and whiny individual, good sir.
Can I also say real fast, the name Dragon, that it's just, it sounds like a Dollar Tree version of like a drain cleaner or something, doesn't it?
No, I was thinking crayons.
Really?
I was thinking crayons for whatever reason. So,
regardless, ask your doctor if Dragon is right for you.
Regardless of what you want to say about the writing, I didn't have a problem with him kind of assuming that the Power Rangers were there as part of Dragon's forces, because his planet is being invaded, and then these five new random creatures just show up out of nowhere. Right? That is exactly how monsters that Zed sends down to the planet appear. Right? So there is not that much of a logical leap to go, oh, five people in brightly colored and cue Sasha spandex.
That is not spandex.
Just it wasn't too much of a leap for me that he would assume they were there for nefarious purposes.
I think initially I get that, but at the same time, it took them so long okay, so they told him Alpha sent them, and that like they are clearly don't look like any of the other bad guys that Dragon has previously sent, and they're trying not to fight this guy, so he doesn't even bother to like stop for a sec.
In all fairness, there's not really a uniformity to Dragon's troops. They are somewhat slapdash.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But yes, there is very much the thing that we're here to help, we're from Earth. They get in a fight, and it's the moment that I think it's Aisha mentions Alpha to the person she's fighting. They're like, wait, what? Hang on. It's only Dex that's just like, of course I must 2v1 Rocky and Tommy. Right? And then there's this one scene where they're just running sideways for like...
Actually, that's one of my notes. A lot of side running.
Oh, no.
It's like it almost looked like something like a samurai movie, the way they were running.
I don't know.
No, those are good points. I guess along those same lines, I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to go in order, even though the questions are mostly in order, guys.
Okay.
That's cool. After the fight, everybody sort of goes into the little cave and they decide to talk, and we see the Masked Rider and his four unnamed compatriots.
Who are named, but they're so forgettable you don't remember the names.
Their name dropped and quickly forgotten.
Yeah.
But it is revealed that they are human-like, but that they have a mind crystal.
There's a moment where like he unmorphs, or whatever it's called for the Masked Rider. And I think it's Billy goes, oh, he's humanoid. I'm like, you just saw him with two legs, two arms, and a head. Of course he's humanoid.
But he can't know that necessarily. That could have been a robot suit.
That's still a humanoid figure.
Fair.
Yeah. The definition of humanoid is to be human shape. Not he is human or he is flesh and blood. Like Alpha is a humanoid because he is humanoid shaped. It's just like...
Fair.
You're a scientist, Billy. That's not how science works.
Yay.
This is not Billy's best episode in Power Rangers history, let's be real here. But I guess
it's nobody's.
Well, because this is a Power Rangers episode.
This is a Masked Rider episode. But I guess my question is what do we think of the concept of the projector crystal?
Great way to watch TV.
So I may have gone a little over and above for this episode and watched the Masked Rider series.
How much of it?
Like half of it.
Oh my God.
That's not just the TV on his head. Like he could use it to like psychically project things and to like makes a beam that goes into a wall that creates a motorbike and a car. You know, to be a
rider. So it's the MacGuffin mind crystal.
It is absolutely a MacGuffin.
Cool.
Oh, and he has a sword, right? That he pulls out of his belt that actually looks like he's pulling out of his crotch.
I do like the sword.
I mean, you could like the sword without like liking how it comes out, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was more a Japanese thing than anything, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh man, I remember watching the Masked Rider series when it was on, and it still feels like a fever dream to me. Like I know I watched it, but like, did I really?
When he arrives on Earth, Dex is adopted by a family.
Ah, yeah, here we go.
A family that is,
oh God,
a middle-aged cis white dude who's into aliens, that's slightly overweight, who is married to an Asian woman who's a caterer. Mm-hmm. They have a daughter who's a typical valley white girl and an African-American young child. Now, we, as adults, are like, that's not how DNA works. You don't find out until like 8 episodes in or something that they're all adopted.
That's not obvious just from the description.
You would be surprised about television in the 90s.
Good point.
He does have a pretty good point on that.
So, well, we're not here to talk about the ridiculousness of the Masked Rider series, though.
I have one last thing. Hold on, Sasha. I have to ask, just because he's on it already, we're already here, and we're probably never going to get back on this topic again. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
What did you think of Furbus?
We'll get to him.
Are you sure?
We'll get to him.
Okay, because he doesn't show up in any of these episodes.
No, but I will bring him up.
Okay, cool.
Oh, because joy. So looking forward to that. Can't wait.
Just making sure.
Because so, it will lead to a point I'm trying to make later. Just
gotcha.
So I guess this is a good segue to talk about the Masked Rider bad guy. Since we're on this train, we might as well stay on the train. What do we think of this Dragon guy? Is he a formidable villain?
From the 3 episodes that we get, I mean, he's in his big, weird, like, white spider spaceship just blasting down at the planet. And it's like, doesn't really seem too competent to me. But we don't have much time with him, really. So,
well, don't forget, we do find out that over the course of the time the Dragon shows up to the where we are, his minions and everybody are slowly killing the planet.
How long have they said that that's been going on, by the way? Because I would imagine it's been like, I can't remember off the top of my head, but like it's been a couple generations. No
time frame is given.
Okay.
Given how he's technically already taken over the planet in that sense, he's pretty formidable at that rate.
But don't forget, even Dex admits that Idanoi was just like super peaceful and didn't even have like a weapons cache. So it's not like he had much of a fight.
So yeah. A little bit of history on Lord Dragon from the Masked Rider series.
Boy.
He's actually Dex's uncle.
Come again?
He's actually Dex's uncle. who had a duel with the grandfather that gave Dex the Masked Rider powers, because the uncle, Dragon, was being super evil and shit. You're going to have to beep that. I'm sorry. I got one. It's being super evil. And then him and the grandfather of Dex have a duel, and he gets all scarred up, which is why he wears the mask, and gets exiled, which is why he came back to invade Edenoi. Doesn't explain anything else about time frames, but that's all you ever find out.
Wow, that sounds so interesting. I can't wait to watch this series.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds par for the course for Kamen Rider, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, not kidding.
So, but,
Mike, you've been a little quiet on this. What do you think of Lord Count, whatever, Dragon?
I already said my piece on him. I said my thing before Ben went into his thing about, you know, Lord Dragon as the uncle and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I will say this, for what we see in these three episodes, right? What we see in these three episodes, Dragon very much reminded me of Zed when he first showed up, which was he appears, he's very intimidating in his presence, but it's all the minions that are screwing up.
Yeah. Right?
And speaking of Zeddy Boy, we find out some interesting information about the brain one. We find out that apparently there's some beef between Lord Zed and Dragon. And I guess I'm curious if what you guys think happened between the two. Is it just too many people in the Conquer the Galaxy pool? Because that seems like a big pool.
I have things to say, but I want to let other people say things because they're being really quiet.
Oh, no. Okay. I was just... Sorry about that. I think, you know, at the beginning of In Space, not to go forward, but you know that giant council of villains?
Yeah.
I feel United like Dragon... United Alliance of Evil. Yes, thank you. I feel like Dragon could have easily just shown up to that and just been like, what's up, dude? Like, he's definitely got that kind of demeanor. There's a little bit of context. I mean, I feel like maybe they were rivals, like, when they were younger, or who knows, maybe Dragon just kind of stepped where he shouldn't have and really pissed off Zed. I really don't know.
Maybe Dragon is the reason that Serpentera runs on AAA batteries.
Oh.
I would,
and Zed never forgave him for it.
I mean,
he's comically bitter / slightly intimidated by Dragon. So,
I would probably put out the idea that in general, Zed just doesn't like the idea of Dragon maybe potentially coming to Earth and encroaching on what he would consider his territory. And it's probably something where maybe at past galaxies or planets and stuff where Zed was taking over, Dragon maybe have undercut him, which in turn could lead to Zed to just having massive trust issues and not liking guys like Dragon and stuff like that. Because we do see it later in this season when we see Rita's dad.
Yeah.
So y'all are missing the obvious here, right? It's quite clear that in Villain High School, Dragon and Rita were dating, right? Because, like, Rita's, even like when Zed's like, damn, Lord Dragon, Rita's like, I quite like him, really. And we know from previous that Zed has had a thing for Rita for a while, right? So I'm telling you, man, it all goes back to Villain High School.
Why do you always bring these things up when I'm about to drink water? Every time.
Because I'm really trying to make you choke to death.
Well,
oh, We heard it here, folks.
There's gonna be a moita. Moita. I was jokingly gonna say that, and then like the second that you started, I was like, oh man, okay. Which is funny because like Ben, I think with that kind of stuff, you can sell that so much better than I can. And it,
Ben just has a way with words, doesn't he?
I honestly believe that. Like that.
And if you're telling me you wouldn't watch a Sentai series about villain high school, you're lying.
I would. Where's my wallet? I will pay for that myself, sir. Thank you.
I mean, just go watch anime. They're full of them.
Yeah.
Here's a high school with vampires. Here's a high school with magic people. Here's a high school with wannabe superheroes. Here's a high school with something else.
Here's a high school with zombies.
There you go. Yeah. But back to Power Rangers. So let's go back to Earth for a little bit since we're kind of heading in that direction. The first thing that we find out is that not all Rangers go to Edenoi. One Ranger gets left behind.
And who might that be?
You know, it's hard to guess, but it's Kimberly. She is very conveniently home with the flu. And it seems like, from my perspective, this is sort of like, we know that this is the beginning of the end for Kimberly as a Power Ranger. And this is sort of like kind of distancing herself from the other Rangers. Maybe they were trying to see like, I mean, I guess you needed a Ranger to stay behind, but at the same time, the other four Rangers kind of were okay on their own without Kimberly. So like, what do we think of them basically leaving Kimberly on Earth because she's sick?
I don't think too much of it. You know, you kind of look at it like, I mean, like from the sports team perspective, you know, if you have a guy who's sick, you don't dress him. It's kind of that simple. So I didn't really look too
much. You say that, but look at sports today.
Let me look at it this way. 1995, that's the perspective that you look at it with.
Yeah.
You know,
I completely agree.
So I didn't answer this question because the question you actually wrote was, did the episode feel off because of Kimberly's absence? And the answer is no, but yes. Because it just felt off, regardless of Kimberly's situation or anything like that. It just felt like an odd episode.
Yeah.
Like, everything about the episode felt weird. From, like, the weird time inconsistencies, to the alpha problem, to the time thing, to but knowing
the
what
world's most easily transmittable cold.
Yeah. To Bulk and Skull. To it just everything felt a bit off. And I don't know.
It's probably because of the fact that you had as Kimberly separated from them. And like we've seen them do separations before, but it was always within the same context of a story for why they were breaking up into like the two groups or so. Whereas this time it's like, well, she's just sick, so she's home. The others are going to go on this mission. And then you have
it,
also
no, because it goes story. Beyond Kim. That's what I'm trying to say, is like everything about the episode was slightly odd. And I think it was partially the fact that this was not a Power Rangers episode. Let's be honest. It was partially because they knew that the next three episodes they were going to be redoing the movie, right?
Yeah.
And they knew that it just this is three episodes of another TV show that are also 99% filler. It's just everything about the show was slightly odd. Like, they had to wind everything back, like, it genuinely felt like they wound the show back, like, half a season.
That's a really good point, Ben, and I think that actually gets to a question I'm going to ask a little bit later about the general, like, pacing of this episode, but we will get to that. But along those lines, something that Mike mentioned, you know, we've seen the Rangers have these like little smaller episodes where it's just like one Ranger taking the lead, or maybe two Rangers are like trapped in a book or something, you know. But would this have worked a little bit better if maybe you only had a couple of Rangers that went to Edenoi and the rest stayed on Earth? Because it felt weird like the entire team went, because like there was really nothing that four Rangers did that two Rangers couldn't do.
I'm looking something up, so somebody say something.
I mean, I could just I'm not gonna be
the first person to speak every time. Y'all need to actually put some input into this show.
Yeah, no. I thought he was gonna say something. So I think personally, like, for what the episode, for what the story was trying to do, it made sense that the major group of Rangers went off to Edenoi, because the threat, you know, at the beginning of the story, the threat is not on Earth, even though that's kind of dumb though, just because the threat can just show up on Earth whenever, because literally Zed could just be taking a nap and wake up and be like, oh wow, I had a weird idea for a monster, let's go terrorize Angel Grove again. So it doesn't make sense to send everybody off. But at the same time, you know, they're like a group. I don't know.
No, Brian, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
If you want to elaborate further on it, by all means. But I think that's valid.
Yeah, I definitely think trying to go to Edenoi, figure out what's going on, try and get some answers for Alpha, that's a good thing. But like, I don't know, if it's as simple as like, hey, let's go do like let's go try and like see what's going on with the planet, maybe do a survey, send Billy and Tommy, and then keep everybody back here as like, you know, reconnaissance or whatever, and if there is a problem, maybe then send them off. But like, you know, you don't just send everybody off to something that's that uncertain. I personally wouldn't do that. That's my thing. So, especially with the fact that
I think that's a good point. And what happens is, like, I think they all want to go and help, and then Zordon's like, no, I can't send you. And they're like, but Zordon, we have to help. And he's like, okay, you can go. I'm not going to tell you anything about this planet or what to expect or like what the people look like, but sure, go forward. And we'll have a poor sick Kimberly who like can totally take a monster and fight it by herself. It's fine.
Yeah.
So the thing I was looking up super quick, because you don't know if, thank you, Ben, for the air quotes. but the thing I was looking up was for the three episodes in general was Amy Jo Johnson legitimately sick, which possibly could have caused them to rewrite portions of these three episodes. And it doesn't, because, you know, maybe she would ended up being sick at the time they're shooting. That's always a possibility. So they kind of maybe change it up a little bit, but it doesn't look like that's the case, because, you know, it just seems a little weird that you only would send like essentially five of your six Rangers off planet and just leave one sick, where you would probably think maybe you would leave one. And this kind of goes back to my original point of, you know, and this goes to your thing, Ben, about the timing. Because it's just one Ranger sticking behind, it kind of throws things off a little bit, because their story isn't really a big story. It's like this little thing that you got to put in there just to remind people that Kim is still there.
Yeah.
You know, unlike in, like, say, season two, when they're getting rid of Jason, Trini, and Zach, you know, they virtually made him almost non-existent. Whereas they're trying to keep it.
Go ahead, Brian.
I would argue that the main reason, there's two main reasons probably, and I'm just based off of context and what I can surmise, you know, one was Amy Jo Johnson, you know, at this point was probably trying to step away, and like, this was their way of starting to kind of do that. And because there's so many episodes this season where she's just not available. Okay, fine, whatever. Maybe she was trying to take on different acting gigs. Perfectly fine. She's in Hollywood. She's, you know, she's a Power Ranger. She can get whatever job she probably wants to. But Another possible reason why she stayed behind and why they had it as five Rangers was because they probably wanted to keep that aesthetic of like what the group looked like as six, but then they want to put in, you know, Masked Rider Black RX, basically, Masked Rider. They wanted to put him in that group shot and, oh, look how cool it looks when Masked Rider is posing with the Power Rangers.
That's a good point, Brian, but I also wonder if maybe this was before. I don't know how much of the season they had planned out ahead of time, so I wonder if they were also maybe testing the waters of what the Ranger dynamic would look like without the with five Rangers instead of six, before then deciding to bring in Kimberly, bring in Kat and do the whole thing of the, you know, transfer of powers and whatnot.
But we've already seen.
This is actually a good way to test that because it's not connected to anything. The events of this episode don't really carry over into anything else. And next episode, we will see basically the actual premiere of season three. So could be.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, it's that they don't have to test the theory of just running with five Rangers, because that's how the show initially started. We always had five Rangers.
The only thing that you, the only thing,
hold on, but the show has evolved to have a dynamic of six.
Yeah, but the only thing that I could see them maybe testing is maybe having one female Ranger instead of two. That's the only thing I could see them in theory testing in that one.
Or I think even, or specifically testing the gang without Kim. Because Kim is at this point, Kim and Billy are the only remnants of the original five Rangers that were chosen by Zordon, yada, 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 in the first season.
It could be that they didn't want to just rip the Band-Aid off because, like, they were just like, okay, let's get them kind of acclimated to being without, you know, Kim, and then we can write her out.
Yeah.
So, going to posit a bit of a different theory here.
By all means.
And say it's not that. Quite honestly. Long story short, at the end of the day, they still needed to make this Power Rangers episode. Mm-hmm. And that means Lord Zedd summoning a monster and a Power Ranger fighting it. And there is expositional dialogue before they go to Edenoi where they basically just say, well, if anything goes wrong, you can just call us on the communicators and we can teleport back, right? And then it just so happens that, oh, wait, we can't do that. But if Alpha pushes like three buttons, yes, we can. Long story short, I genuinely believe it was just a writing trope to, in some way, shape, or form, have a Power Ranger on Earth that will fight a monster. And they wanted Billy to go to them to the planet because he's the one that needs to explain that the planet is being broken down by aliens, because he's the only one that's clever enough to get that. Tommy and Rocky have to be there because they're the muscle, so that when Dex fights them, it shows you how good of a fighter Dex is. Aisha needs to be there because there's a woman on the other side, so they got to have the two women fight each other. And Adam's there so that he can be the person that goes, guys, why are we fighting? We could just talk. You know that, right? And Rocky goes, Rocky smash! Because that's how Rocky does it. So, by a process of elimination, either Aisha or Kimberly were getting left behind, right? And because something that has... Mike and I and Brian and I are wrestling fans. This is going somewhere, bear with me. And there is this big debate about intergender wrestling, about whether it is good to see a woman wrestle a man, and whether it is sexist or whether it can cause damage. And over the course of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you never see Kimberly or Aisha or Trini or Kat fight a dude. They're either fighting aliens or they're fighting females.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that tracks.
So, with there only being one female Edenoian who do show up again in Masked Rider, so they are there for a reason. Only one of the women is going to Edenoi.
Oh, and by the way, those three people that were with Dex, their names were Zarius, Farian, and Donius.
Zarius is the woman. I remember that much.
Cool. Yeah. I'll definitely remember that.
But the point being, I think there was a little bit more of a... they had other things on their mind at this point, like, oh, God, we've got to redo an entire movie. Well, maybe we could just come up with something really clever. They just needed a Power Ranger to stay at home. They needed a way for Kimberly to stave off a monster on her own when she was there alone. And someone had obviously recently watched War of the Worlds and gotten an alien sick. And then the others could come back and form the Megazord. Like,
no, that's a good point. And that actually, and you know, and then like what we know with Amy Jo Johnson, it sort of made sense to leave Kimberly behind anyway. But speaking of that, because you're carrying us over to the next question very, very well, Ben, is how many Power Rangers can safely say they defeated a villain by getting them sick? What do we think about such an unintended tactic and its consequences? Or just plot padding?
Not just get them sick, but get them sick by sneezing through a helmet.
Yeah, there's
we'll get to that. We will get to that.
I
couldn't believe that. I guess the helmet has some kind of massive filtration system.
Well, I mean, you hope they can breathe. I mean, but
if you're sick,
but there's like breathing in and
you
out.
You say that, right? But there is a line of dialogue when Dex demorphs, where he's like, "I have trusted you with my identity, and the air on Edenoi is so similar to Earth, it's safe for you to breathe out here," which suggests that the Rangers can take the helmets off, which must mean that the Rangers' helmets are hermetically sealed. So how did the flu bug get out?
Yeah.
Also, how did the gas in every other episode get in?
There's a very simple explanation.
That's not how helmets work.
That's not how science works.
I think we're two on that's not how science works this episode, folks.
So I got a question for you. Obviously, Zordon, whenever there's a new ranger, he tells them about, you know, the rules. Did he ever say anything about biological warfare?
Like I'm not gonna lie though,
Zordon is as smart as you think he is, Brian,
but I'm not gonna lie though, it's like
Zordon's not as clever as he thinks he is.
Wait a minute,
that's your planet, why are you sad?
There also been episodes where the Rangers like inhaled noxious gas?
That's what I just said. Then right, how did the gas in all the other episodes get in?
Look, there's a very simple explanation.
No.
What were you saying, Mike?
Like I was saying, though, it's like it, like even though it was an unintended consequence of Kim giving the flu or the cold to the monster, I mean, think about the PSA that they technically put out there by her doing that.
And cover that your nose when you sneeze, kids.
Cover your mouth and nose when you sneeze, but also if you're sick, stay home. Like, don't go out and fight monsters.
Can we talk again about the current world situation?
Oh man,
I know it's the irony of the time, but wow, Power Rangers saw it before we did. How about that?
It did, however, produce one of my favorite scenes of all of season three, which is Dr. Finster, where he's taking the monster's temperature and he gives him these pills that are the size of hockey pucks.
No, don't forget, first he tries to give him a shot, and the monster's like, is there something else you can give me? And this is like, it's like
I'm anti-vaxxer right there.
Like, remember the from Spaceballs when they're about to give Princess Vespa back her old nose? It's like that kind of a shot.
Yeah.
And Finster's like, could you just give me something else? And Finster's like, oh, yeah, I can just give you these pills that are conveniently sitting.
And first of all, Finster's like, well, you've contracted a human virus and you had to take 10 days of bed rest. And he's just like, I'm in the middle of fighting the Rangers, my dude.
I mean, it was the kind of comedic relief that I actually really appreciated in this in these episodes, because the rest of it kind of sucked. So,
agreed.
Just, oh my god,
Nez Finster to the rescue! Man,
I'm just glad that we're getting Finster again, because he was like pretty much MIA during season two.
Yeah,
definitely one of my favorites.
The true brains of. And it's really interesting that we get like Finster, who's the true brains of the operation in this episode. And the next episode, we meet Rito, who's the exact opposite.
Oh, God.
Quite clearly the best.
Hey, Ned!
I love Rito so much. He's so stupid.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Next episode. Next episode. But
he's the evil Rocky!
Save it for next episode, Oprah, okay? Guys, I think I killed that. No, he's fine.
You know, Rito just wants to have fun.
Guys, seriously, next episode.
We can see Rocky and Rito go play basketball together.
Is there anything else that y'all want to say about this monster and the situation with Kimberly being sick before we move on?
I think we've beaten that one down enough.
All right. I mean, the next question is a question that, look, I'm just going to say this. Zordon is very irritating because he knows information. We never get an explanation of how he knows. Because, so Finster makes a monster, right? Makes sense. Rita and Zed approve the monster. He gets Zed down to Earth and causes havoc. 2 seconds later, this part makes sense, Zordon and Alpha pick up the monster signature. Makes sense so far. 2 seconds later, unless the monster is shouting his name everywhere he goes, right? I am Pudgy Pig. I am Pudgy Pig. Zordon knows the name of the monster.
So I've actually talked about this specific thing on an episode of Voices from the Grid last season.
We always talk about it. It always comes up.
And I am convinced that what happens is Rita has a menu. And she goes, I want this monster today, please, Finster. And that Zordon just has a copy of that menu saved on his phone.
Yeah, that, but not only that, but the Rangers have been in that palace enough times, they probably could easily hack into that with the command center at this point now. Let's be honest.
So why not just blow up the command, blow up Rita's palace and save Earth and move on?
Because that's not child friendly.
Because weird, that would be
what happens at the end of this season. Anyway, but yet, no, you are right. It is one of those pieces of writing. It is one of those pieces of writing that is just... It's one of those things that when you write a show for kids, you don't have to worry about expositing how people know things, right? It's like, how does... There's a moment where one of the characters knows another character's name and has never been told in this episode. I think it's like... I think Dex knows Tommy's name or something before they were introduced. I can't remember. But like, it's real weird. Like, you just don't have to exposit that stuff so people don't... I don't know.
No, that's a very sad but makes sense as an explanation. Brian?
As a kid watching this, you care less about formalities and more like, all right, cool, get to fighting. I mean, that's the honest fact of it. Is
Early on, I was quite... I was quite okay with it because I figured that Rita was just bringing out monsters from her old bag of tricks, right? That Zordon had faced before. But like, and like, even to the point where you see the monsters pre-made in Finster's workshop.
That's true.
But this is just, I don't know.
I feel like the dynamics of this episode, as Ben has previously stated, are so weird that like, we just, I think, like, get distracted by other things.
I think when Finster adds stuff to the menu, Zordon gets it as some DLC pretty much right off the bat.
I can see that.
For that package.
The McRib is back. Like,
Rangers, it's an emergency. Get to McDonald's. Buy me three. Dump them in the fish tank. I'm hungry.
I guess this brings us to one of the penultimate questions of the episode is, did this need to be a three-parter?
This didn't need to be.
No, this didn't need to be is the correct answer.
It just didn't.
Did this need to be, period? Answer, no.
No.
I mean, it does set a criteria, though, moving forward, because this is the first official team-up.
Yes.
That does take place between franchises. So, because it does lead into, you know, the infamous TMNT and in space, and the what would eventually also become the Ranger team-ups that we would start seeing after the Zordon era. Yeah. So this is kind of a precursor to what's to come down the road as well.
I'm not sure there was that much thought put into this, but
yeah, yes.
Probably not, but you know.
Happy coincidence.
What I think happened was Haim Saban and Toei were talking, and he had already done VR Troopers, and Saban was like, I really want to do this Super Sentai adaptation. It got really successful, and then they were like, hey, we got this other franchise with this like crazy Bugman thing, and it's been going on since 71. You want to try a crack at that? And he was just like, cool, let me get the latest one. They're like, cool. This one's from 1988, so the footage is going to be a little weird. What do you mean? It's on worse film stock than what you're used to, so it's going to look a little weird compared to all the other stock footage that you're using. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, by the way, this is also a sequel series to Kamen Rider Black. Oh, cool. Can we use that? No, it's too violent. Oh, okay, cool. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up the footage aspect, Brian, because that threw me. It reminded me a little bit more of like what the footage looked like in the original, in the first season of Power Rangers, but worse. So that explanation makes sense.
What's really jarring, to call back to the actual Masked Rider series for a moment, is when they're showing a long shot of the command center with the bad guys in it. And then they do a close up on one of the American actors.
Yeah.
Like the far off shot is all that season one blurry footage. And then the close up is like better definition season three Mighty Morphin Power Rangers footage. And it's like, wow.
Because they're literally taking camera quality from like 94, 95 and pairing it with footage from like the late 80s. And it's like, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. And it's sad to talk about this and be like, yeah, Masked Rider kind of sucks, because I like Kamen Rider, and you know, I like this suit, I like his powers. I just think that this was something when they Americanized it, it's too weird even for me. I'm not a huge fan of Dax and his I don't know. He's also, by the way, something that I thought was really weird too is also he was doing the seat hi-ya thing during fighting, and it sounded really, really weird.
Another thing is, one of the things that Power Rangers has sort of written into its DNA, right, is a certain level of flair, right? Even the most basic things that the Rangers do get done with a certain amount of flair, right? The Dex that we see in A Friend in Need doesn't have that level of flair. And when he does, it's stupid. Like his finishing move, the rider kick, is a jump. While he's in midair, they cut to him doing a backflip.
Mm-hmm.
Then they cut to him doing a normal flying kick, which cuts into him doing a rotating 2-foot kick. And you're like,
why?
That's not how physics works. On top of everything else, at least in Power Rangers, there would be explosions, or they'd use a ray gun of some form, or all you see in A Friend in Need is Dex punch things. You don't even see him pull the sword out. You don't get to meet his incredibly belligerent motorcycle or his over-sexy car. He has a motorcycle and a car in the TV show.
You're really selling me on this TV show. I can't believe it.
He has a motorcycle in the TV show that has like a New York accent when it speaks. And then there's a car that's basically a race car called Mango, I think, something like that. That is basically sexy Kit. It's a Kit with a woman's voice that is quite seductive at times. It is really weird.
Alpha Zio's accent.
Yeah. But we'll come back to those. It's weird.
So to go back to the original question, unless Mike, you want to jump in with anything, feel free. I asked y'all if this needed to be a three-parter. The consensus was this did not need to be. Why don't y'all elaborate on why this did not need to be?
Because it kind of wasn't Power Rangers. It should have been with Masked Rider instead.
Well, even then, like, I don't know how much Brian remembers of the show what he watched when he was a kid.
I remember really corny bits. I do remember the finale they used. They did use the Japanese one. So, like, you do see, like, as far as Japan goes, you see, like, all of the Showa era writers, but in America. And it was, like, I actually went back and watched that, and that was really, really weird. I forgot that happened. But there's, like, 20 years worth of, like, different people that are teaming up with him finally out of nowhere, and it's not really explained too well. I remember having some of the toys, but I just remember not liking it as much as Power Rangers. And the major reason I always didn't like it was because the team dynamic was never there, because he's a singular person, and that's kind of the point. But like, I don't know, it's a lot more fun when they have like a team dynamic to work with for me.
So of the four quote unquote Toei shows, right? Power Rangers, VR Troopers, this, and Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Yes.
This was the least successful of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why I think that is?
Too dark.
The other three have origin episodes. You never get to see Dex get the powers, right? When we meet him in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, he's already got the powers. When you see him in the first episodes of Masked Rider, Escape from Edenoi Part 1 and 2, it's just, they're just on Edenoi. He's already the Masked Ranger, and he's on Earth within like 10 minutes,
right?
You could have just throwing these three episodes out the window, put a proper origin episode at the beginning of the Masked Rider series, and then just have them cross over later in the series to promote the Masked Rider series, and it would have been better all round.
And I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but you're absolutely right, because like, I guess they were banking on, hey, season three of Power Rangers is coming out, and like, obviously every kid that's been with us since 93 is going to be glued to their TV.
why don't we use this as an opportunity to introduce them to a new hero? And sure, that works, but I completely agree with you. We need to see how he got his powers. We need to see what makes him tick. Like, we need to know what it is that makes him.
Especially when you find out in Masked Rider that the powers skip a generation.
I completely forgot about that.
So, to kind of bring this back a little bit, since I did not watch and have so much interest in watching the Masked
Rider. I knew it was a bad idea to watch it, but
I'm totally gonna watch it now. But from my perspective, and those are all valid points, I think part of the problem is that Dex is not that likable as a character. He's not interesting. He's very one-dimensional. Like, you can tell he cares about his people, I guess, but that's about it.
Like, maybe. What is it that's getting him out of bed every day?
The shock.
I don't know, but that's...
The shock sticks with his jailers. He's a slave. The Evoid people are slaves.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the choice to lie in. He's got to go mine gas with his hands
to destroy his own planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel.
Was that?
I'm not gonna lie. I heard that differently originally.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael
is his origin. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Brian.
I was just gonna say, we're watching this episode. I'm like, Dune's out right now. Is this supposed to kind of be?
This is actually better than Dune.
Wow.
Haven't seen it, but I was saying, the show, like, a Masked Rider series doesn't work in the scope of what's been said, because it feels sort of bland compared to Power Rangers, right? There's not a lot. Like, Power Rangers, the first thing you think of is the bright colored suits.
Yeah,
I can't even tell you what colored suit the Masked Riders is. I guess it's supposed to be like a dark green.
It's a dark green and black. Yeah,
sure. That's not exciting. Kids are not going to remember that in a month, right? So I'm not surprised they tried to do it, but I'm not surprised that it failed ultimately.
Sorry, go ahead. Both of you.
I'm just saying, the footage might not have worked because it would have been so old, but there are so many more interesting Kamen Rider suits that they could have used. But it's like, Saban was getting. Just a little bit of context. Saban was going to be damned if he did and damned if he didn't with this anyways, because this was going to be the last series of Kamen Rider to come out in Japan until 2000, when Kamen Rider Kuga came out. They took a break and they only made three movies during the 90s. So let's just throw out the biggest hypothetical here and say Masked Rider is a humongous success here in the States. I know, I'm shocked too.
So you're saying even if the show had succeeded, it wouldn't have anywhere to go from the episodes that were already made?
Because in the 90s, Toei took a break from making Kamen Rider, and we didn't get a new Kamen Rider series again, like I said, until 2000 with Kuga. So we wouldn't have had anything to adapt from in the first place unless we wanted to go back. And at that point, we're going to get even worse looking footage.
It's whatever happened, it was meant to be as such. Mike, you look like you were gonna say something earlier.
Because obviously Brian and I were the guys who watched it day one when the show debuted for Power Rangers. It's like, for me, something that, whereas Brian, he was still watching the show, so he watched this as this show aired originally. I didn't. Mm-hmm. Because during season two, I think after the power transfer was done and Zach Treeny and Zach were gone, I think I only lasted maybe 5 or 6 episodes after that before I stopped watching. So for me, I wasn't technically around. Well, I mean, I was around, but I wasn't around watching the show to see Masked Rider. I didn't see
you know, in space when it aired, when the Turtles were happening. So I didn't even know the Turtles had a show until like 2010. I legitimately didn't know they had a live action. Like, I kind of knew about Masked Rider because I had seen commercials for it, but I never had the inspiration to go see it, like when it was airing on Fox. So yeah, it's just one of those deals where it was, you know, like, I don't even remember it until like I see these episodes here.
Watching back on DVD. The thing is, they also set up that Power Rangers and Masked Rider are in the same continuity, right?
Yeah.
But yet neither of them is ever referenced again on either show. Like when aliens start invading Earth on Masked Rider, people aren't, wait, is this Lord Zedd? Or why aren't the Power Rangers coming to help us? Or, like, I don't know. It just, it's this weird disconnect.
No, that's fair.
And I feel like had the show been more successful and things had gone on during the In Space finale, you know, we might have seen a cameo from Masked Rider.
There was a theory. Bear with me on this. Uh-huh. That the Phantom Ranger was originally supposed to be the Masked Rider.
Really?
So the Phantom Ranger.
I remember that theory.
So the Phantom Ranger wouldn't have existed, and we would have had Dex instead of the Phantom Ranger.
Neat.
That would have been, that I think that would have worked better, honestly. But I'm glad that what happened as it did.
Yeah.
And you guys actually already answered my final question, which brings us back to the one question we ask every group episode. It's very important that we talk about the true heroes of the franchise, the one and only, the great heroes themselves, Bulk and Skull. And so what do we think about Bulk and Skull's actions this episode? Because Ben's already making that squinchy face.
It's the stepping stone to what eventually happens, like, I think a couple episodes later. It really is. It's like, okay, you know, no more trying to find out who the Rangers are. Let's just try to be heroes ourselves. And try attempt number one is by saying we're the Power Rangers and trying to set up a faux pas thing, which then leads to them signing up for the junior police. So it's like, this is kind of like the setup for them going into that. That's how I see it.
As Brian shows us his bulk, what I assume are very badly painted Bulk and Skull figurines.
From like the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell. Ben, you're making faces over there. What do you think?
Brian, do you have an opinion before I go?
Ben, the floor is all yours.
I've been very vocal about how Bulk and Skull are the only actual human beings on the show. So it is not a surprise to me for them to... we'll call it a moment of weakness, right? At the end of the day, the thing about this whole episode is it's somewhat timeless in the continuity of the first two seasons of Power Rangers, except for the fact that it's White Ranger and Adam, Aisha, and Rocky. It could happen at any time during that period of time. There's nothing else to lock it down. And in order to facilitate that, they had to take away some of the growth that had happened with Bulk and Skull. Especially when you think about how they're about to redo the movie in the next three episodes as well. So this is very much Bulk and Skull's capstone to the original era of Power Rangers, right? And it's what I like to call the tipping point. Much like Mike said, this is what eventually... he thinks what he said was this is what eventually leads him to join the police, the junior police force. I don't agree with that. What initially leads them there is their want to be with women that think police officers are hot, basically. But this is the tipping point. Until now, Bulk and Skull have flirted with both sides of being good guys and bullies and bad guys and good guys. This is the moment where they go, huh, we should just, this is the start of the downhill roll towards in space, basically. Everything to this point has been an uphill push. This mm-hmm. is the tipping point where they have that moment of like, well, we'll just claim to be the Power Rangers, right? Which is a beautiful juxtaposition to in space where they do the exact same thing, but it helps save humanity rather than get them women.
I want to see that parallel gift set of them pretending to be Power Rangers from this moment to in space now. Somebody make that happen.
That's a very beautiful juxtaposition and mirroring of where of the journey of Bulk and Skull, which was probably completely unintentional by the writers. Probably. But I think it's great.
And so something else to keep in mind, and I think this is the point that you and Mike are trying to get at, Ben, is that Bulk and Skull's journey is not confined to one single season or one single episode. Yes. It's a journey that goes over the course of, you know, five seasons or six. So there are going to be moments where they just take two steps forward. There will be moments where they take a step back, and it's going to be a back and forth. And so in a lot of ways, I think Mike is right that this does sort of set up the arc of this sort of hints at the arc we're going to see from them this season, because they initially want to join the police force because they hear, oh, they love a man in a uniform. Here it's sort of similar, except substitute man in a uniform with, oh my God, the Power Rangers are so hot or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think you both make a really excellent point. And I think this is a really great point to sort of wrap up this episode with, unless there's anything else y'all want
to
say.
There is one last thing I want to bring up, because I said we would get back to Fuzzbee or whatever his name was from Mars Rider. There are a lot of things in this two-parter and in Mars Rider as a whole that we will see in the future of Power Rangers. It's almost like this became a prototype for Turbo.
Could you elaborate to the folks that have no idea what you're talking about, please?
So in Turbo, the Zeo powers go away and the Power Rangers become a vehicle. They ride in cars. Right. And at a certain point in that season, they discover two cars that are sentient, much like
Storm Blaster and Lightning Cruiser.
Yeah.
Ooh, much remember like, that off the top of my head.
Much like the Masked Rider's two cars.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah.
One of them is even bright red. Also, Furby, Fuzzbee, what's the dude's name?
Furbus.
Whatever.
Is very much an early prototype of Larrigot.
Oh my God.
Okay, that's terrifying.
He's not wrong.
Lord Dragon and his assembly are an early prototype of the Machine Empire.
Dragon and Diva. Yeah. I can see some inspiration for Diva Talks.
Yeah. Absolutely. This becomes a mission statement for what is going to happen in Power Rangers.
Well, that is a very intriguing point, Mr. Ben Taylor. I think we have a lot more episodes to cover before we get there.
Uh-huh.
But I think with that,
we have a whole season to get to Zeo.
This is true. We are almost at Zeo, but we are not at Zeo yet. So sit your Zeo crystal down. And I think it's time for our wrap up. So we, yes. So with that, Brian, let's start with you. Where can the people find you on that pesky social media?
Oh, that darned old social media. I tell you what, it's the bane of my existence. You can find me on Twitter at Wondering Geek. You can also find me on Instagram at Drakkner22. You can find me on TikTok at BlueRanger_BRI. I know I'm just getting all kinds of nasty looks from Mike, even though I can't see him right now.
I wasn't even looking at you, but okay.
That was me, yeah, Brian.
Fair enough.
Branding is not your strong suit, is it?
No, it's not.
It's because he shaved his beard.
Yeah. I'm
he's like Samson, the power.
Yeah. I can feel the power fading. And then check me out on castwavestudios.com, friend of the studio. We've got a lot of cool stuff in the works. Come check us out and have a good time.
Mr. Ben Taylor, where can the people find you?
You ready for this, Mike?
I promise not to screw up, sir.
It's been a while. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me doing the video game thing with my wife and our good friend Jordan Johnson, aka the narrator of our scripted intros, over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
You can find Voice from the Grid on Twitter at
VFTG_PR.
And you can find the sister show of Voices from the Grid, Awesome Mania, where Mike and I sit down once a month to watch wrestling with our friends and talk about it, over at
txhthockey.com/awesomemania.
And Michael, what about you? Where are you on those social medias?
Twitter at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch attempting to do the gaming thing at twitch.tv/themichaelx75. And of course, everything else can just be found here on the website at txhthockey.com, and for the show specific, VFTG. And who knows? Maybe even with the debut of VFTG, maybe Musings from the Grid could come back too.
Maybe.
And with that, you can find my lovely self over on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. On Tumblr, I am the only one of us with a solidly used Tumblr. You can hear all of my musings about how desperate I am for proper Jewish representation over on Tumblr at geekgirl101.tumblr.com.
And on Twitter and on Facebook.
Huh?
See, that's not the only place you talk about the need for Jewish representation.
It's the biggest place I talk about the need for Jewish representation.
It really is actually the biggest, most common place for her to do it, actually, is Tumblr.
It's a little sad. But anyway, and of course, you can catch some long-length articles. I will be coming back with some new articles over on geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com. So thank you for listening, and be sure to check us out next time when we finally deal with the movie rewrite.
And after three episodes of absolute nonsense, we will leave you, as we always do, by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, in the words of the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender specific honorifics.
And until next time, be sure to grab your power coins and your power morphers.
And until next time, may the power protect you.
I'm totally going to go watch Masked Rider now.